The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
I'm Nikki.
In this episode, well, E3 happened recently, so we're going to be talking about mostly video games
but
for a change.
What's E3, Cap?
E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. That's E3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first year since 2010 that we haven't gone.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Thank you. It was a gift to me.
To not go?
It's a lot of work, man. Yeah.
I actually wasn't sure how to read what you just said.
Yeah, no. I wasn't sure if you were being sarcastic or not.
It's a lot of work for me, and then Cap does twice what I do and gets literally no sleep. So for days, you don't sleep, you work, you come home, and then you feel like crap. So I'm really glad I'm not going.
And everybody's like, oh, we went to these cool E3 parties. You don't go to cool E3 parties if you're working.
Yeah,
hell no.
You're too tired.
No way.
You got editing and uploading to do. You can't go.
No way. Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, not only could I have, we decided not to go as Nerdy Show, and then I won a ticket to it from Loot Crate and had
that
to turn
hilarious.
It down.
What?
They wouldn't let him transfer it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was non-transferable, so I couldn't do anything with it. I had to either go
if
myself.
It's in your Loot Crate, it should be whatever. You want to
well,
do
they emailed me about it. It wasn't in the box.
Oh.
I was okay. E3 ticket. No,
right,
it was,
no mind then. Yeah. Fine.
So there's a lot of cool stuff that was announced, and we're going to talk about a bunch of it, as well as stuff we played and stuff we've done. So it's been a while since we've seen Nikki. Nikki, what you been doing?
Hey, well, not much working, regular work, but I got a tattoo today, and it's of an alien, so it's kind of dope. It might look just like scribbles right now.
Why
you can't hear me.
You got to pull the mic, the headset away, and show everybody for the video component. If you're listening to this, check out the video component on YouTube.
Little alien head.
Can I ask you that?
Behind,
why did
behind
you
her
get
ear.
An alien head?
Because I like aliens.
And how do you know what kind of alien to get?
Well, originally, I just wanted the basic outline. You know, the symbolic 90s...
Almond shape.
She took
almond
an Alienware computer alien and she's like, I want this.
Basically, I went in, I was like, I want the Alienware head, but just put the tiniest little smiley on it, because I wanted my alien
to be
happy.
Is it smiling?
It is.
That's anatomically incorrect. Everyone knows aliens don't have the muscles to smile.
Shut your mouth.
It's a monotone face.
My alien can smile.
I don't know what he's on.
Crack.
Yeah, he got fed crack by the government.
It's Alien 51
and he's
alien.
Living life.
That's the 50. You should put Area 51 right under it.
That might be my next one.
That's one legit. Mistake the lizard people didn't make. They made sure that they were able to
Ooh,
fake a smile.
That's another one. Maybe you could give that one to me prison style.
I got a knife.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't.
Does someone have ink? Let's do
I think
this.
You need a sharpened
no,
ballpoint
just...
pen to get it prison style.
Don't I just cut
I
your skin open?
I don't think you sharpen a...
Draw underneath and then
I've actually not been to prison, so I really don't know.
I don't know how it works. But...
So when you get the words Area 51, it's going to be the logo of the arcade game, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Man, those games were awful.
Done. Let's
that was
just,
a rail shooter,
let's leave
wasn't it?
Right yeah. now and just do this.
I like any rail shooter, I just pretty much hate. Unless it's like House of the Dead, I used to
it
love that
to have
for some
solid
reason.
Novelty, you know? But Area 51 was just the bottom of the barrel.
What about Generation X?
Generation X, the Aerosmith video game,
I want a tattoo
so
of
good.
Just the arcade cabinet down my whole back. Down my whole back, at an angle so you can see Aerosmith on the side or whatever was on it.
But with modern day Steven Tyler.
Yeah. Yes.
So an alien, basically, is what it's going to look like.
Wearing human skin.
And a monotone face. No, he's got a big smile. Never mind. Really
yeah.
big smile.
He really
he's
does.
Got a Muppet mouth.
Well, he's got, the huge lips that imply that something is living, in his flesh. So that's
he's cute.
You can count on it. If you've slept with him, you may be carrying alien DNA.
Hey, you know what? He made Liv Tyler. So I can't complain.
So it's proof of alien eugenics.
Get a girl.
She's going to look exactly like him when she gets to that age, too. Probably younger.
Good luck.
Probably now. I haven't seen her since, Empire Records?
No, she's looking... She was so cute.
Or that Bruce, what about that movie where they blow up a meteor with people who drill for
I
oil?
I almost wore my Lord of the Rings dress today with Liv Tyler on it. Just because
I would like
so
to see
gorgeous.
That.
How can you not remember
time?
The
next
name
time.
Of Armageddon, one of the greatest movies of all times?
One of the greatest oil propaganda movies of all time. Why don't you have a tattoo of Liv Tyler?
I don't know, man. Actually, that's what's next. Liv Tyler, tramp stamped right above my ass.
It says basically lips.
I live for Liv.
Right. Anyway, what you been doing, Boar?
Oh, man, I've been doing pretty much just the same old go to work. Play Overwatch and then repeat type thing, but there's been a couple instances over the past couple of weeks where I've just about had heart attacks. And
okay,
like literally, or figuratively.
Well, yes.
All right, that sums it up.
The first one was last week's Game of Thrones episode, which I guess would be the week before this week after this is coming out.
The penultimate episode of the season.
Yeah, yeah. The ninth episode. Yeah. I almost died a few times during that episode. I'm not going to say why, but, and then the second time that I almost had a heart attack is I've been playing with the stock market a lot recently, and I've been putting a lot of money in penny stocks, right? So, and then Brexit happened. So my money's just been like leaving and then coming back and then leaving again. So
it's going to make the dollar stronger.
What is penny stock exactly?
Penny stocks are stocks that are below a dollar. So they're usually really cheap to purchase.
They're for poor people.
They can potentially make you tons of money, or you can lose everything.
But you almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, because my money kept leaving and then coming back because it's just been.
I thought you the market's went into been like kind Amazon of shitty lately. Or some shit, and you were just like,
yeah.
This is it.
I've been putting $50.
No. I need to get on that train though.
$50 in the stock market every 2 weeks for like 4 years.
You should do that.
So I have like 200 shares, but the problem is it's in my own company. And the stock hasn't moved in three or four years.
Oh, Brandon Incorporated?
So I still get all my money. I could just, it's just sitting there and I'm not spending it. So I could take it out. Whenever.
I didn't know you took your personal stock public yet. I didn't know that happened.
Oh, it's been like, yeah. So, you know, just
how do I buy into that?
You know, go online.
Does it pay dividends?
I mean, I get dividends. I don't know about
so if
you.
I give you a little bit of money, can I come shake you down for just a little bit of cash every now and then?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. So
we'll start this racketeering.
That sounds good.
Well, I've been playing with my own version of the stock market lately, which is
You've been buying a lot of Amiibos?
No. I don't collect comics. I read comics. But in reading comics and supporting the comics that I like, that means that I tend to acquire a lot of comic books, physical comic books, because I don't take any joy in reading it on a digital device, and I also don't own an iPad. So
far, this is making logical sense. Continue.
Okay. So about every few years, I attempt to liquidate the stuff that I don't see any point in me holding on to, or that I don't see any point in me holding on to the single issues of, that I could just buy a collection and still get the same, maybe an even more convenient reading experience. And at this point, some things, like, for example, Brian K. Vaughan's and Fiona Staples' Saga, is worth a shit ton of money right now. So
you're holding on to that and not getting rid of it?
No. It's going to accrue in value, but I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of that now. But I spent 14 hours straight sorting comic books into stacks, getting it all set up for my dealer to deal these comic books.
Dealer.
I didn't finish. I didn't come anywhere close to finishing. I have too many goddamn comic books.
Didn't you did this once before, and didn't you have like an entire like room from floor to ceiling with just white boxes filled with comics?
Isn't that right back there?
Or is that still the case? I thought you had way more than that before. Way more boxes. Am I wrong?
Well, no.
You did this before a few years ago.
Yeah, I did. I did. And I liquidated most of it then. But it's happening again. And it's so much worse than I thought it was. And like I had this whole setup where the living room is kind of expansive, so I use that space to then stack all of the related books in different piles and so on, and then spent all day walking around, plopping down different books and crouching and picking things up and sorting, and then going over to a laptop on another thing. And by the end of it, like my leg muscles were like they were screaming. I had been squatting intermittently for 14 hours.
You've just discovered the comic book workout for nerds. Yeah.
So if you want to get into shape, just go ahead and stack up all your comic books and move them around constantly.
If you're a nerd who doesn't want a blood clot or an aneurysm,
well, I mean, stack comic books. A full long box is pretty hefty. So yeah, you can, you know.
So she's.
You wanna?
How many long box squats can you do?
Can you deadlift this long box, bro?
How many comics you get?
See, I have the same problem, but with video games, and also that I would never get rid of them. So I have video games all the way from NES. Just that I had when I was a kid, and I'm never getting rid of.
Well, most the vast majority of video games only ever decrease in value, and it's like exponential after they come out.
I have Final Fantasy 1 with the booklet. No, it's not sealed, but
well, I said most of them.
Yeah, it's got the map and everything. The original Final Fantasy for NES,
especially any disc based game.
Oh,
those don't CDs. Unless you have some of the original like rare PlayStation ones. Most of
I had the original Xenogears when it came out, but then they re-released it. And
I mean, when's the last time you saw a really rare like original Xbox game that somebody was lusting over? You know, it just doesn't happen.
Xbox. Sneak King is probably the last one of any real value.
Yeah. Actually, that I would never get rid of that. It was an amazing game, by the way.
That's the Burger King game where you sneak up as people as the king.
Oh.
It is one of the creepiest. Like, people work in a construction site, and you'll set this whole scenario up so you'll pop out of a dumpster with a burger, and it just really
scares
scary,
the crap
actually.
Out of
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you go to a neighborhood with children. It's really creepy.
Yeah. So I've got a couple other things to discuss, but first, what have you been up to, Brandon?
I have been doing pretty much what Boar has been doing, except
Stock market?
Yes, but replace Overwatch with Odin's Sphere, because you know, it takes a while. Other than that, I've been trying to learn how to play the violin, but instead of the word learn, you can replace that with try to make kitty cat noises on them.
Oh, so that's super awesome and easy though, right?
I don't know. I've tried a few times to make like kitten noises, but it's really difficult, and I thought maybe I could figure it out today, so I brought my violin. So I don't know. Let me give me one second.
I am a pro at making like killing
maybe you,
cat
you
noises
use this thing?
On the violin. I feel like it's easily achieved.
You've done this before?
Well, I used to play violin, so I know how to make really bad noises on it too.
So do you have?
This is a beautiful violin, dude.
You say that now, but you haven't heard it.
Okay.
Do you have cat gut strings?
Well, that's the only strings.
Okay. On. Well, I mean, if you're going to make cat noises, you have to have cat gut.
Here we go, guys.
Brandon's violin is, I believe, Kelly Green is the shade.
Oh, God. Yeah, here's the violin. You won't be able to see it if you're only listening to this, but I only bought it because it's green, and it was like $30.
And it's got, like, Guitar Hero colors up there.
That neck. I added in afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Just ignore that. Ignore that. I'm a pro.
That's so cute.
Honestly, I have no idea what this sounds like, so you're going to tell me if it sounds like shit or like a cat. So here we go, guys. So let me see if I can get all the way down here. All right, so just give me a sec to warm up, guys, okay?
Okay.
Oh, no, no, that's not a cat. Hold on. No, it's getting there, but it's not quite a cat. Hold on. Nope.
There you go.
It's not perfect, but... Oh, that's a dying cat.
There,
you know, this sounds like you making cat noises. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I think I'm better at it. I think, yeah, I'm better at it.
I think you just wasted money on a violin.
I will learn to play it someday after I figure out how to make cat noises on it. Do you know how to do this? Have you done this before? You want to try?
I haven't tried cat noises I'd like to. Sure.
Nope. I put too much rosin on it.
I like how we got.
I didn't clean the rosin off. Sorry.
We got a second microphone set up for you for this, and you're not talking or singing along with this. So I really don't understand the second microphone.
Hey, man, you and me both.
I thought it might come in handy.
Hey, here we go, guys. Here we go. I think I got it. Nope.
There.
Let's just make comical noises. Nope. And that was new attempt to play.
Can you actually play something?
Yes. Here, look, check this out. This is called the G string. There. And then there are three other strings, and I've heard there is an ancient myth that if you put these four different notes, G, D, A, E, together in a specific order, a song might happen. I don't know any of them yet. But legend would be told that these strings can create music. I just don't know how yet. I don't think anyone's ever figured it out. But I got one of these, and I think I'm going to figure it out someday.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So, but until then, I'm going to just keep trying to make cat noises, but not yet.
This has been another segment of Brandon Lies.
This is a real violin, okay? That is not a lie. It was $30.
Whoa.
China. Dope. It smells like spray paint. Because it was spray painted. And that's what I've been up to, guys.
Cool.
So
cool.
That was my failed segment. You guys keep talking while I put this away.
No, that was a success for me, I think.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll be back next week with a better sounding
It was definitely something. So
keep it up. Keep it up.
So Aaron and I were at Heroes Con a couple weekends ago, which we mentioned preemptively, so didn't actually meet up with any fans. No one lives in North Carolina, I don't know. But met a lot of new people, met a lot of awesome new people, hung
nude
out with some
people?
They could be nude at some point, but they weren't when I met them.
They're nude under the clothes.
Yeah, eventually. They'll
we're
be
all nude.
Nude under our clothes. And hung out with some great awesome comics creators, and we did a number of panels. Aaron hosted a Deadpool panel and a horror panel, and I hosted X-Men, a weird Marvel, and an LGBTQ culture and comics panel, and we recorded them. Unfortunately, the LGBTQ panel I didn't get. Something went wrong. I don't know what happened. But if you're a Patreon backer, then very shortly you will see all of those in your feed. Unfortunately, the quality is a little weird. Some folks were like, it was all jacked into the mixing boards that they had set up there in the panel rooms, but some mics come in clear as day, and others, which are clearly coming through the speaker system, are not getting picked up at all, and I have no clue why.
I feel like we've had that problem before.
This specific problem, never seen it before. I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation, but basically, no one was working the board, so it happened.
You got to work the board.
You got to work the board. And but anyway, if you want to listen to them, just to caution, there's going to be some really inconsistent leveling. But
did you just host
fun.
All the panels?
No, there were way more panels than that.
Okay, but it sounded like you hosted.
Aaron and I probably hosted more panels than any other people there. But that's just because we love hosting panels.
That's nice.
A really weird thing to like. Well, I guess some people like that. I would not. I was on a panel once. It was horrifying. Never again.
With the one at our MegaCon panel.
Yeah. It was very scary. It was a live audience. Oh, okay.
It was a packed room. There were standing people. It was great.
Yeah, there sure was.
Now, we've got a busy July coming up. Jess, Aaron, and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con, and we want to know two things. One, are you going to be there? And if you are, then let us know, because we'd like to do a meetup, if that makes any kind of sense. So just contact us in whatever way you feel comfortable, you, the listener, and hopefully we'll meet up at Comic-Con. Number two, there's so much more to do there than three people could even conceivably do. So we want to know if there's, for those of you who can't make it, if there's things that you're curious about, if there's things you want us to check out on your behalf that we can report on, even if it's just like, hey, get real close to the case where this action figure is and tell me if it looks any good. We'll do that. We'll take pictures.
You just spend your time doing that.
I mean,
that's all everyone's going to ask you to do.
It's several days of insanity and, it can be kind of hard sometimes to focus on what exactly we should be filling our time with. So if you got anything you want us to check out, let us know, and we'll do our damnedest to do so. Now, after SDCC, which is short for San Diego Comic-Con, I'm likely going to L.A. for a few days and then head over to Tucson, Arizona for Camp Fangamer, July 29th through 31st. Camp Fangamer is, well, this is the second year. The first year, it was an incredible alternate reality experience themed around Earthbound, and this time I expect it'll be much the same thing.
I was gonna say, is it in Tucson because of the city and Earthbound?
Tucson and Tucson in Earthbound, it's definitely a good coincidence. It definitely plays up to it, but it's also where Fangamer is actually based out of, the cool
more sense.
Video game accessory and apparel company Fangamer. If you've never checked out their shit, you really should. They got great stuff. So this is one of the coolest events I've ever been to. It was one of our top rated nerdy things of last year. So we'll see if the sequel can match it. But I just learned this. They've asked me to be the panel moderator for all of the panels.
Are there like several panels at the same time, or am I wrong about that?
And not at Camp Fangamer.
Okay.
They're really weird. In fact, they've actually structured things. So, it's 3 days now instead of two, and on Friday is the panel day. There's going to be other stuff happening, but the panels will be a major feature of it, and they'll be happening all in succession.
They just like you that much, they're like, you should host all the panels.
Well, I've actually heard about Cap that Cap likes hosting panels.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know. That's a rumor. It's just, I feel like I was told at some point in the past.
Yeah. I think you made that up.
Anyway, so we'll see what happens. It should be fun. And there's a couple ones that I've, panels that I've submitted that, that we're hosting. And actually, Brandon, we're going to talk a little bit on the subject of that next week's episode of Nerdy Show, which leads me to a little bit of housekeeping for Nerdy Show. You may have noticed that our previous episode, where we talked to Jessica about her vacation in Japan, normally our episodes in between our weekly or every other week news episodes are numbered, but we've now stripped that away. So these episodes, the one that you're listening to or watching right now, where we talk about all the latest happenings, are the ones that are numbered. But meanwhile, the microsodes, interviews, and specials will not be numbered. However,
yay.
However, for the sorting that must happen for both your computer and your personal well-being, those will be labeled as _5 when you download the MP3. Just so it'll be in chronological order, but not officially numbered.
Can you just have, like, microsode number 1 and microsode number 2? It'd just be separate.
We'd have to go back in time and rearrange everything.
We had extensive discussions with both fans and hosts and decided that the path of least resistance, the one that was the least complicated, was this.
I didn't get a vote.
You could have joined in, and you didn't. And then one final note, pretty cool thing. There's a Bee and Puppy Cat cookbook coming out in August, and Kristen, one of the sometimes hosts of Nerdy Show on Nerdy Show, she has a recipe in there.
I was really excited when I heard that because I actually still don't know what her recipe is. So maybe you can elaborate. I didn't realize she entered and won whatever the thing was, the contest to submit
a recipe. It was kind of a call to action. I think it originated from the Being in Puppy Cat Kickstarter, and she submitted this really great curry cake recipe, and I wrote the copy for it for like what
a curry cake,
like Indian curry or like Thai curry.
Do you cut it open and there's like freaking potatoes and peppers and shit in there?
No, it's I actually haven't had it, but it sounds great. And I wrote so the copy that you see in the book is probably something I wrote because they asked to submit a description about the food. And so then I expounded on that, even though I hadn't actually had any of it. But, you know, tried to keep it in line with the vibe of Being Puppy Cat. And apparently I succeeded. So that's happening, and you can pre-order it now. So you should totally do that. We'll have links to where you can get that on this episode's page. And somber news, I just wanted to acknowledge that Anton Yelchin died, and that really sucks. He played Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies, and I'm really glad we get to do one more adventure with him. Mm. I hope he's in the film a lot.
I did not realize that happened.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
So let's talk about fun shit.
moving on
completely.
Did anything fun happen?
Well, all the E3 stuff.
I mean, yeah, but like I said, did anything fun happen? What are
you? What of all the trailers you watch and all the announcements you heard? What were you most excited about? Pick one.
Seeing anything new that I thought was impressive? You know what I thought was impressive? There is this game that I actually didn't care about until I saw a playable demo. It's called Days Gone, and It's just like it looks like another zombie apocalypse survival game where you play as like an ex-biker gang member, which I don't care about. But they showed so many zombies, like World War Z style, the movie, zombies.
They kind of flow like water.
It's like a river. There's so many zombies on one screen. I didn't even believe they could do that.
Dead Rising times a million.
Yes. Even though they showed a new Dead Rising, it was way better. There were so many, they were toppling over each other and collapsing like second stories of buildings while chasing you. There were so many. So I advise at some point you really need to watch that trailer.
I don't know. I was very underwhelmed by it.
Like, I didn't care about the game.
I noticed that there was
a lot of zombies
and stuff, but the gameplay looked kind of silly, and I'm getting really tired of zombie games.
I agree, but I was impressed, like I said, with like the flowing river of zombies, which looked really cool.
Yeah. There were a lot of zombies, I'll give it that.
But it was the way they're moving.
I can't deny that.
It wasn't like just a horde of slow moving zombies. They were just like you said, flowing like water. There's tons of them nonstop running and running.
And he kept trying to like trip them for some reason. Like most of them, like you'd blow up some logs that would get in the way.
Gameplay, yeah.
I guess
you like close a door and then like you run and you'd look behind you and they would like all just bang up against the door and it would just bust open.
At one point he's running from all these zombies and he's like, "I'm gonna go in this rickety old barn because that wood'll save me."
And he gets surrounded.
Give me a break.
Yeah, what he said, but it was still really impressive looking.
Also,
technically.
The funniest part is right at the beginning of this little demo that they played where he's riding on the, like, he hops on this motorcycle, right? And he's like, and it's like this older motorcycle, and he drives down this path.
10 feet.
Yeah, it's not very far. He drives like less than a quarter of a mile down to this farmhouse, and he's like, all right. And he gets off all slow, and he starts to stealth around. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're never going to see you coming now.
There was, when I watched the Microsoft conference, I was pretty underwhelmed, mostly because I've never been a huge fan of Microsoft. However, everyone I know that is really excited about the Xbox, like the Play Anywhere feature, where you can cross play your games now from Windows 10 or on your system, and it's, you don't have to buy two copies. You can use it on both, and it keeps all your save data, and you can play people from different platforms now, you know, that basically you can play on your Xbox One people who are on Windows 10, and they even said iOS and Android. So that's cool.
That is cool.
So that's a great technical aspect.
What the hell game could you play on iOS and
Android?
I don't
know, dude,
but
they said
with,
that's what they said.
It wasn't some stream playing thing like they do with like the Vita, is it? Because you can do that with an Android phone the PS4, for example.
That is not what they had told me.
Okay.
Maybe that weird asymmetrical tablet stuff in Mass Effect 3 or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Microsoft were the only ones to announce their new system. You know,
the only thing that, do you know any details about that particular announcement? Like, are you going to have to buy things through the Windows Store, or can you buy them on Steam?
Are you talking about the Play? Here's the thing. I thought maybe it would only be select titles made for it.
Right.
And they didn't, I mean, I'm sure it's online now.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, is that if it's like through the Windows Store or something, I'm never going to buy anything on the Windows Store.
Well, no, what they said is if you buy a game using your Xbox One, you can then also play it on your Windows 10.
I don't have an Xbox. It would be a benefit to me if, like, games that I already had that were Xbox One crossovers, if they would activate, like, from Steam to Xbox One, then I might be like, oh, maybe I'll get one.
Oh, you know, like, you're saying if you buy it through Steam instead of, like,
right,
a special
like, that
store.
Would be
an, I don't know.
I'm not saying that I would do it, but that would be at least something that I could perceive as an incentive to get an Xbox One.
Well, that's something you need to look up, because I actually don't know the answer to that. That's a good question, though.
Okay.
Thanks for that question that I can't answer.
No problem.
I did like that it was $299, but something that was hilarious and stupid was that one of the main features was, like, integrated power supply. I'm like, well, it's 2016. Thanks.
You don't have to hide that brick now. Awkwardly behind your entertainment system. Like,
PS3 had that, thanks.
Yeah, and PS4. You know, but, you know, that's a cool feature, I guess. You don't want that brick, but you should have been able to do this years ago. So, yeah. But I was really underwhelmed by Microsoft. There was a lot of corporate jargon, a lot of like, this is the best play to play everything on every platform, wherever you are in the house. And meanwhile, Sony has their conference and they have a live orchestra and it's just nonstop games. The same guy comes out between a few games, says some stuff, people cheer, and then they go play like five more game trailers. And that's all they were showing. They didn't announce a new system, which, you know, whatever, I know they're working
on. It's surprising they didn't, though.
But the games they were showing almost looked as good as the new 4K HD Ultra shit on the Xbox One. Like, they showed the new Gears of War. It looked amazing.
It was probably really smart to focus on the games instead of talking about the Neo too much. Because the Neo, I mean, it's going to be a cool upgrade
it's
for people that have,
Xbox,
like, 4K screens and stuff. But if you don't, then there's absolutely nothing different about it. Mm-hmm. So why bother talking about
it? Did
you
notice a huge difference when you saw, like, Gears of War? Or if, I don't know if you watched that part of the Microsoft conference, but how it looked on the 4K.
No.
Yeah. There was a lot of detail, a lot of objects, but that's not really. I don't know anything about the processor speed or the memory in the new Xbox.
I completely just didn't watch any of the Microsoft ones. I was like, oh, Gears 4 trailer next.
It was really hard. it was really hard to watch it. But then you turn on the Sony one, and I couldn't stop watching it because they started with Gears of War.
I still actually hold a grudge against Gears of War because I feel like it killed Unreal Tournament. Well, they took all
the
of their
people,
focus. Yeah, it took all their focus and put it on Gears of War instead of.
Well, aren't they coming out with a new Unreal?
They are, but they're using
starring
a really small
Gears of War
characters. They're using a really small team and they're crowdsourcing most of the development to the community.
How many years has it been
since an Unreal Tournament came out? Oh God, I don't even know. Unreal Tournament,
a long damn time.
Yeah, it's been.
When was
like
the first God of War
or
Gears
eight.
Of War? Like,
yeah, I was wondering, actually, is it more like 5 to 10?
It's been like 7 or 8. I feel like
7 or 8.
Yeah,
there were two games
it's
that
been
they
quite
showed
a while.
That were interesting that I was looking forward to. ReCore, I forget the people who made it, and I'm gonna kill myself for this later. But you remember the game where like you have the girl running around and she gets different cores and like
yeah.
Has different robots.
I forgot about that. That looked amazing.
It looks really cool, and that's one of the things I would get an Xbox for. And then I saw this really weird game that I guess people have heard about for a while now called Scalebound, which is made by one of the creators of Resident Evil 1. And Devil May Cry, and it looks like a cross between Devil May Cry and with dragons is what it looks like. But it looks cool.
That sounds good to me.
You fight giant monsters on dragons, except that it's got the wit and humor of Devil May Cry, which I'm not a huge fan of. Like, look at that big boy. We're going to get him. You know, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, I definitely don't like, some aspects of Devil May Cry, but the gameplay was fun when it came out, and the aesthetics were cool. So if they did that with dragons, well, hey.
Do you know what I learned?
What'd you learn?
Researching that? That Devil May Cry was supposed to be Resident Evil 4. The guy working on it, yeah, and they said, this is too different than Resident Evil. It's too cool, too hip, so they made it it's their own, like, IP.
Well,
It was developed as Resident Evil 4.
I'm glad it wasn't Resident Evil 4. I really like Resident Evil 4. Good job, guys. You made the right call. You're shaking your head, Nikki. What?
Oh, no. Well, no. I'm shocked that they're still making these games, but then I'm still a little bitter about them not continuing the Silent Hill game. You know, like, there's just some things I'm just like, man, there's some bad choices going on with some games out here. Not to hate on Resident Evil. I used to play them back on my PlayStation. I had like,
old. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, my birthday was this month. You guys missed
it. Yay, 42. Yeah.
He's saying everybody is 42. He accused me of being 42.
Yeah, but
earlier.
You don't look a day over 45.
What?
Anyway. So,
well, speaking of the cancellation of Silent Hill, now, Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro aren't working on anything just yet, but Kojima Studios has finally announced and shown their next thing, which is called Death Stranding, and it does star Norman Reedus like Silent Hills was going to.
And Death Stranding is a real term that I didn't realize.
Oh, dude, you haven't seen the trailer for Death Stranding?
No.
Oh my God.
So, okay, well, when Kojima starts walking down the stage, by the way, all of the floor lights up with every step, and he comes out like a gun. Everyone starts cheering. And then, yeah, they showed Norman Reedus's butt and a bunch of dead creatures and a baby fetus. You should probably watch it.
Oh my God, really? Yeah. Just like in PT, everything like in the sink?
Well, no, this is... No. This,
did it talk it with like a really real old man's voice?
No, okay.
It's an actual baby. It's a healthy looking baby, kind of.
My problem with the game, though, is that Guillermo del Toro is not involved, and I really like... He adds a lot of aesthetically pleasing things to games. And horror elements that I don't think Kojima can do the same way.
I don't think just because he's not working with him on Death Stranding, they're not going to find the time to do a horror game together.
I did read an interview that said that was basically a concept. The game is nowhere near being even completed, and that Guillermo del Toro is not working with him yet.
Right.
He says yet on that game, so I don't know if that implies he could or not.
So this trailer, which we'll link to on this episode's page, and you should totally watch, is like Norman Reedus is on a beach covered in beached marine life, because a stranding is when like whales and other creatures will commit suicide by beaching themselves. And there's this bizarre stuff going on. He's got these like handcuffs. He's got these weird sci-fi dog tags. He's all of a sudden holding a baby, and there's like an umbilical cord.
The handcuffs
have
like glowy things.
Yeah, they're
in
like
them
glowy,
too.
And the baby's connected to him with a tether, and he's got a scar over his stomach. I'm like, C-section? It's really weird.
So stuff gets real weird real quick. But as Kojima described it, he said there's going to be a lot of action, but it's something completely different from what you're used to.
He's going to make
it's gonna
weird.
It's
going to
be a nonstop cutscene.
I still want to know if it's going to be haunting. Or if it's going to be more live action.
No, it's just
going to
be
survival.
Straight quick time events the whole game. it's hit X now! Hit square!
With that voice.
Right trigger! Left trigger!
If Norman Reedus was the one saying that, it would be... Okay. Well, I guess the story behind it is Norman Reedus got really pissed off that Konami canceled the last game. And he really... Like, he hounded Kojima. He's like, we need to make this game. We need to make this happen. And Kojima's like, I love you, man. Let's make this game. And they're like bros. And then as soon as they announced it, Norman Reedus posted a Photoshop picture of Kojima drinking a glass that says Konami's tears and just posted it. And then like literally 60 seconds after the announcement and just posted it on social media. So I don't know who made it, but you know, good on them.
Some fans analyzed some of the footage and they checked out the sci-fi dog tags that he's wearing, and there's some stuff etched into them. The Schwarzschild radius and the Dirac equation both reference things relating to relativity and quantum mechanics.
Of course. I could tell by the handcuffs that were glowing.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say this is a hard metaphysical sci-fi.
That baby was him. We already know it now. You said quantum.
I think the umbilical cord went from the baby to his butt. It was probably a butt. It was a butt baby.
It's a butt baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Looper's the game.
So.
Nah. How did you like? There's this game that I thought was really stupid looking. God of War. What did you think?
Oh,
you shut your goddamn mouth!
I was like, oh god, another one. It looks lame. It's really the graphics are shit.
Is he allowed to be on the show?
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to ban him after that.
Banish me.
Yeah, bye.
Kill the deer.
Sorry.
So you really legitimately just don't like God of War games?
Have you ever played?
I played the first two, and then I started getting bored of certain things, certain games.
How did you get bored of killing gods?
They came out with like six games, and some of them are portable, and I just stopped paying attention at that point.
There was like three that were really great, and then like I didn't play all of the
last
one.
I remember the first one being amazing.
Yeah.
And then the second one being almost as amazing, and then I figured the third one would be just
the third one
go
was
downhill.
Fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah,
I should play it.
It was
well,
really
did you,
good.
How did you feel about the new? You know,
I'm really excited for it. It looks completely different from what I was expecting because it starts out with like an older bearded Kratos who looks like he's been living in a cabin in the woods for like at least 12 years or something, and he's got a son and he's guiding him through hunting at the beginning. And their hunting session is interrupted by some sort of a troll that has a gigantic, like, I don't know, runed pillar of stone or something, if I remember correctly.
I did see that, yeah. And they go at it
and
for a
while. And they fight him.
And then he kills it. He's like,
it looks great.
Back to hunting.
It's neat to me that they're going with the Norse stuff now.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
neat. I just don't know how they're going to explain it. Although the end of God of War 3 was a little bit strange and kind of otherworldly, so it could be that he went into another plane of existence, or maybe he just physically went to a different part of the world.
Well, the deer, did you see the deer that they were killing at the end? His antlers were glowing a little.
Yeah.
A little, like barely
you
could notice
a little
it
weird.
Around. So I don't know what is
I don't know
on.
How they're going to explain
him
being in Norse mythology all of a sudden, but I'm very interested in it.
Are there any theories? Like,
I'm sure there are right now online.
Well, yeah. I didn't know if you knew. Okay.
No. The story. What gripped me more than, because I've seen that type of gameplay before, we all have, but it was like, it was pretty emotional, especially near the end with this child, like, not wanting to kill something, and Kratos was, like, wanting to almost touch him, and then it was like, in an emotional way.
Kratos is kind of growing some dad qualities.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to take care of this child, and he's just trying to teach him how to kill, and the child doesn't want to, and he's just like, I don't know what to do, but,
I haven't,
looked really cool.
I haven't played God of War 3. Do we know who this kid's mom is?
No.
Okay.
There's no hints whatsoever. I mean,
they'll be fine.
You do have to, like, get a lot of ladies throughout the.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? There's, like, those sex. Yeah, it could be anyone.
Yeah, it could be anybody. It might even be a goddess.
It could be Zeus. I think it's Zeus. Well, he said that this was your. Like, there's a scene where he's like, this is your mother's dagger. And I don't know if that has any significance, but probably not.
I'd say it. That sounds like it's plenty significant, Red.
Yeah.
You'd think like a goddess wouldn't use it like crappy little dagger, but who knows?
I don't know.
It's probably a peasant
Athena
woman.
Gave him the blades from God of War 3.
Well, it's not Athena. Okay.
No, I'm just saying. But the other thing that fans are really interested in is that the original voice actor for Kratos is gone. He wanted to go do other projects. I forget his name.
But they're excited about that? That he's gone?
They're not excited about that part. That part's actually kind of sad because he had a really great voice and everything. But the exciting thing is that Christopher Judge from Stargate as Teal'c is now Kratos.
Right.
He's doing the voice of Kratos now. So we get Teal'c back.
Yeah.
I'm really
needed
stoked.
The work. I'm really proud of him.
He
did. He needed it.
Bring Stargate
back. I always loved him in Stargate.
Well, I know they're actually coming out with a new show soon, but I don't know much.
SG2. Yeah.
They're restarting everything, right?
I don't know. I hope it's not a reboot.
Are you
I don't
talking
about
the
it.
Movie?
No, it's a complete reboot. Like,
I think
it's
you're talking about the movie now.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the movie.
They're coming out with a movie.
It's a trilogy. It's a new trilogy of movies that...
It's a reboot of the original movie.
I was told it was a TV series, damn it.
But what about Kurt Russell?
Wrong. No, Kurt
Russell. He was so good.
It disregards.
They could totally bring him back.
It disregards all the fans that you know that fell in love with the television series. That's far more significant.
But then
than
they're
the
playing
movie.
The same characters, correct? Like
now
it's going
the original,
to be
the original O'Neil. Like movie mm-hmm. will probably pan out in a similar fashion to the original Stargate movie. But after that, it's going to completely diverge from everything and be whatever they originally intended the trilogy to be. supposedly they had an idea that they completely dropped for Independence Day and went and did Independence Day and then never revisited Stargate because it had been taken over by SG-1 and had a life of its own at that point. So they just kind of like left it alone. But now he's taking all of the popularity that was built up from SG-1 and Atlantis and Universe and trying to release a new...
Wait, do we know who's directing any of this yet? The actual director?
I do not
know names, so
It's going to be Michael Bay, is my guess.
Well,
again, I thought it was a TV series, so I
don't know, I don't remember, but I feel like this is because of the director of the original Stargate, right? Like, this is where it's stemming
from? It's the original creator of...
Yeah. Okay, I actually don't know enough about how all this pairs up to comment on. But no, yeah,
it is made by the original, like, creator and everything, and it's supposedly his original vision for Stargate, but it does completely... It's going to... obliterate all of
SG-1. Is it a technology thing? Like, now that we have better technology?
They'll all have smartphones walking around now. That's the only difference.
I think it's more like they never really got to finish...
Doing what they had originally intended.
Yeah, exactly.
With 10 seasons, they never got...
Which, you know, they could just make Stargate 2, but then they wouldn't have the full continuity because they couldn't have the same actors and everything, so...
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that one. I'm on the fence. Part of me is angry that
three movies in a
they don't
series.
Just continue on with the successful universe that they already have, and other half of me is just glad that they're making anything Stargate again.
Yeah,
so
same.
I don't know.
It's everyone's rebooting absolutely everything these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Trek pissed me off to no end.
Yeah.
So.
Did you hear that? Well, I mean, I think this is old news now, but they're rebooting Reboot.
I did. Yeah, that is old news.
I
need to rewatch the original before they do that.
It's an ongoing process. I don't know if there's been any new developments on it, but it's something that's been kicked around for a while. There's been some activity, but I don't know where they're at with it.
If Enzo isn't in it with that hot mermaid wife lady that he gets with later, I'm out. Peace out.
It might be a complete reboot though. So like he wouldn't
I don't care. I want hexadecimal in it.
Megabyte?
I don't remember the bad.
Yeah.
We actually have a microsode request on the subject of Reboot.
Oh.
That we haven't done yet. So that will happen soonish, probably.
Dope.
The enemy will be terabyte.
Ooh.
or what is it? Petabyte? Petabyte.
Yeah. No.
So how about them games?
Zelda Breath of the Wild?
Well, I was going to mention some other stuff in Soda Conference because they finally announced a Last Guardian date, which I'm so over it at this point. And yeah, everyone was cheering for like October 25th.
Yay, Last Guardian.
I bet they'll push it back again.
Like 5 or 6 years later. Great.
They showed more of Horizon
Hashtag
Zero Dawn.
Not getting my hopes up.
Did you see Horizon Zero Dawn? The newer gameplay trailer?
Yeah, dude.
Where she's like hacking a wild animal and
you're just jumping
it.
All around here, Brandon.
I'm so sorry. I'm excited.
Horizon Zero Dawn is a game that was one of our top games of E3 last year, and it looks amazing. It's a survivalist game in a post-apocalyptic setting where mankind has been reduced to kind of hunter-gatherer territory, but all the animals are like cybernetic, and you have to kill them and strip them for parts. And they released a trailer this year that has a little bit more in the nature of the plot and the main protagonist and the journey she's on to get answers kind of about like what happened to the world. Very, very intrigued.
And where is the robot animal factory? That's probably one of the things that they'll answer.
That's the secret at the end of the game.
Made by a studio called Gorilla, and one of our Nerdy Show listeners, Citizen Stew, works for them.
Nice.
Oh, we need to interview him like now.
I don't know how much he could conceivably say.
Do you have Skype?
By the way, Gorilla are the people who made all the Killzone games, which are some of the prettiest games I've ever played.
And this is something very, very different from Killzone.
Well, we'll see.
Citizen Stew needs to get us some advanced copies.
Yes. Or demo copies.
Wink, wink, you know where to find me, man.
All right. I'll let someone else mention things now. I'm done. I could talk for a long time about Resident Evil 7 and everything, but go away for a bit.
What else do you have in this notebook?
Dude, I've got like pages. Don't even.
Well,
don't even.
I mean, on the topic of horror video games in a sense, I don't know how long it is necessarily, but I just watched Conjuring 2, the movie, and it was incredibly scary. I screamed in the theaters and actually slipped out of my seat a couple times, and one dude actually died of a heart attack. So
that's how you know your movie's good.
It's dope.
I assume
it's awesome.
Somewhere else in the world other than the theater you were
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah, no, not in my theater. Okay. No, I didn't, like, witness that
one, there's always one guy in every theater that
was it as intense as episode 9 of this season of Game of Thrones?
It was more intense, dude.
That doesn't make sense.
You know, I mean, horror movies don't. You know they're fake, and you sit
I'm caught up in Game of Thrones, and like I'm into it, and I think a lot of things are very intense while watching it. But I like horror movies more, and if something can scare me that bad, so you just, they're doing a really good job.
You sit down in a seat, and then there's some jump scares on the screen, and you're like, ah.
Oh, it's better than that. You gotta go see it.
Is it like Chuds?
I'll take you. What?
Is it like Chuds?
I've never seen Chuds.
Oh, okay.
What is Chuds?
It's an old horror movie. There's these mutants that come out of the sewer.
What's the one where they come out of the toilets? It's not Gremlins, but it's...
Critters?
Critters.
I don't know if they come out of the toilet. That movie's bad. We're going to just talk about horror movies. That's shitty horror movies all day.
The point was...
Boar hates horror movies.
Critters 2.
Yeah.
Electric.
I do hate horror movies.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
What
about Tremors?
I do like Tremors.
Stop listing stuff.
And they have an amazing series, too.
But, you know, you there's something that ties this all in with video games and so on. So
The Conjuring 2 has a virtual reality headset playable trailer.
Which I would really hate.
And I was watching a video of these two kids, two small children playing
shitting
this
their
game.
Pants.
And so, of course, you know, they have the half screen. Like, half screen's just them flipping out in their reactions, and the other side's the actual video game. Just watching the very, like, shitty side of the video game, I got scared and then didn't understand why there's a 10-year-old on the other side of that video.
Is it a video game or like a? You said a trailer for a movie. I'm confused.
No, well, it's a playable trailer, so
it's like a little game.
It's interactive. It's like you can do things. Things will happen.
Like you're walking around in a building.
I think basically things just keep happening around you, no matter what, and depending on where you look, it's whether or not you're going to see it or not. I mean, obviously, you're going to see the shadow moving this way up into the photo or whatever you're doing. If you look to the other side of the room, you don't have to see it, but then you can turn around
in the wrong direction all the time. So
you can do whatever you want.
That would have been scary if you would have saw it.
Yeah, it's like one of those 360 music videos where, you know, it's going to continuously play, but if you look around, you can see more.
Do they have a controller in their hand? Are they actually, like, moving, you know?
No, I think you're just experiencing it. You can, like, look away. Yeah, so it's a video, but you can look wherever you want.
Do you think that is the future of movies? Go into a theater with a VR headset and just look everywhere?
So many people would die.
That would be really hard to direct, and you wouldn't be able to, like, get the user or, like, the viewer to get your story necessarily.
It'd be like a special IMAX experience, like Dancing with Whales.
I don't see it as being anything other than, like, a fun tech demo. Like, hey, we can do this.
Well, that's how I feel all VR is at this point, but
yeah,
hopefully I'll be
I'm
proven
with you.
Wrong.
Have you
I'm
ever done D-Box? Like, with the moving chairs?
D-Box?
D-Box,
you
yes.
Get in the D-Box.
Well, you know how I talk
Have
about...
Have you ever done the D?
You know how I talk about 4DX a lot?
The fourth dimension is water.
Yeah, that's right. D-Box, but they have it at the fashion... Like, they have it at our mall.
4DX is D-Box's muscle-bound granddaddy. But, like, not as in he's old, but as in he's powerful. And like can crush your skull. I don't want any
D-Box coming in and crushing my skull. I don't know what you're even talking about.
The
anymore.
Interactive theater experiences. I've never done D-Box.
Oh, this was in LA, right?
Yeah, 40X.
Okay. I remember this one.
Yeah, it's I can attest to it will make a bad movie good.
What movie did you see again?
I saw Fast 7. Is what I saw, and it was a shitty movie. But I do not regret that experience one bit. It was crazy. So I'd highly recommend 4DX. But
so do you smell exhaust and stuff? Like, what happens? I don't understand.
It's like a tube pumping in.
Well, there was, like, I was watching Star Wars, and there's, like, you know, you move along with a lot of scenes, and sometimes you're, like, on the ship, and, like, your seat will move along with the first-person view of things. Mm. But,
wait, this is a thing? This happens?
Yes, it's a real movie theater.
I thought your chair was broken.
No, but then there's like one scene where there's a bunch of stormtroopers on the actual ship and they're all holding on and they're all rocking, but you're like rocking along with them. So at one point you almost feel like you're a stormtrooper, like ready to go out
with these
people.
I always feel
kind of
like I'm a stormtrooper.
I don't know. They put you, it feels like you're actually like there with everything happening just a little bit more than just watching the movie.
The thing that makes 4DX kick so much ass is they have directional wind. So they could just have that feature and not do anything else, and it would still be, it's so good and so precise. It, when you're in, say, doing a movie with fast cars and shit, and there's wind pumping in the same direction as the vehicles are going to create the simulation of constant motion, no matter what kind of torque your chair has, and the chair also has vibrations in it that are matching the RPMs of the cars that are on screen at that moment, it's pretty good. But again, I wouldn't want to see a good film in that circumstance. I would want to see the dumbest Michael Bay style bullshit in that experience.
I would like to see a really slow, like, British documentary.
You want like Transformers the Ride.
Yeah, it's probably better than that.
I love Transformers.
Really? It's a shockingly, like, better than most theme parks experience.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Wuthering Heights in the 4DX experience. I want to realize all that shit in 4DX. Documentaries are the
Downton
way to go.
Downton Abbey now in 4DX.
Oh, I would be there, man. When his ulcer goes, you feel the blood. You feel the blood on you. Smell the blood.
All right, let's do some shout outs and then get back to video games. So, Nerdy Show is entirely listener supported. That means that if you want us to keep making shows, and any shows on the network for that matter, we need your generous contributions, or at least a helping hand. If you go to nerdyshow.com/support, you'll find out all the different ways you can support us. We have one-time donations. We have a monthly Patreon subscription where we send you hours and hours and hours of bonus content. We put out early releases before shit hits the web, and all kinds of other stuff.
You wanted to say the fan.
It can hit the fan. Before shit hits the fan, you get there on Patreon, you have pre-sliced, pre-fan-sliced shit.
Pre-sliced.
I don't know, man. So, Patreon, then also you can buy stuff via our Amazon links, and a portion of what you're spending comes back to Nerdy Show. I should also add that for all these video games we're mentioning, anything you pre-order, one, Amazon has a 20% discount on pre-order and new games, and also, if you sign up for a 30-day Amazon Prime subscription via our links, we just straight up get $3. And if you gift someone an Amazon Prime subscription, we straight up get $5. Now, since we are kind of getting somewhere between like 5 and 7% on any average object, that's pretty good. So if you want to do this Amazon thing, great. Just go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon.
Keep in mind that there's easier ways to get us $5, like sending us $5.
That's true. That is
true. A little bit cheaper.
But if you want the sweet taste of Ecto Cooler, you're going to need an Amazon Prime subscription. So I'm just going to put that out there. And maybe you want your friend to get the sweet taste of Ecto Cooler, or perhaps to enjoy the phenomenal programming such as Man in the High Castle.
That's a good
tower.
Show.
Man in the High... Man in the High...
No, it's High Castle. Everyone keeps saying tower, but it's High Castle. Cap, yep. If I buy $1,000 of stuff on Amazon, which you will get like 5 to 7% of that, if I then return it, do you get to keep it? Is this a loophole?
I don't know.
All right, I'll look into that.
I have no idea.
Infinite money is all I'm saying.
I don't think that's possible. But yeah,
on this week's It's Fraud with Brandon.
Ah, that's a good segment.
So, if you back us on Patreon, there's all kinds of additional perks in addition to the free stuff, like hanging out with us in the Nerdy Show Lounge, which is a private Facebook group where all the hosts of the network hang out with the fans and talk about stuff. And also getting shout-outs. We got to give a shout-out to our two newest patrons, Evan Baumel and Spectrum of Chaos.
I like that username.
It's a good username.
Is it broad spectrum or narrow?
Write in and tell us, okay. Spectrum Chaos. And we got some shout-outs now. At $10 or more, you get to say, well, we'll say whatever you want us to say or talk about whatever you want us to talk about once a month. So leading the charge on that, Temsu has messages for both Brandon and Boar.
Oh, I'll read mine first then. Okay, so this is what he says to Brandon. I don't believe I've heard you discuss buzzards and other carrion-eating birds, maybe once in passing at most. What are your opinions on them? And you'll be glad to know that the Penguins took home the Stanley Cup this year. And then the next is a weird question. Were they always your go-to pick over the Mighty Ducks? First off, yes. I don't know how Penguins carry a Stanley Cup, because they don't really... I mean, they have fingers, but it's concealed within a flipper, so they don't have, like, joints that they can use to hold a cup. But let's get back to the
buzzers.
I don't
think birds can play football at all. This is all just...
You know. Yeah. Well, I thought the Stanley Cup was soccer, but that's a moot point. Okay, so here, there's a trick question in here. I don't know if you're aware of. He said, I don't believe I've heard you discuss buzzards and other carrion-eating birds. Here's a little known fact, guys. Buzzards are not carrion eating birds. Everyone thinks buzzards are vultures. They are not. Buzzards refers to a certain type of bird, the Buteo family, or Buteo as you call it, which refers to hawks, like red-tailed hawks. Those are buzzards. New World, or I think Old World vultures, I forget, are referred to as a buzzard. But buzzards refers to non-carrion eating hawks, like red-tails. So buzzards are technically hawks, and people just get that shit wrong all the time. Probably from the media. Probably from cartoons.
Yeah, movies told me that vultures were buzzards.
But look at them buzzards, and you see a vulture. Sorry, those aren't buzzards. Those are just vultures.
Yeah, CNN and Fox News both told me that, too.
You see a hawk shouting in the sky. Those are buzzards.
Who thought there'd be lies in the media? Yeah.
But a buzzard without an S does refer to, I think, an old world vulture.
Hmm. Well, so what is your opinion on carrion birds?
Oh, they're pretty gross. Here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. I've been bit by a black vulture before. I still have the scar.
Can you show it to us?
No, it's on my leg. There's no way I'm showing it.
It's on my penis.
It's a scar. It's healed. There's just what and I've mentioned this before. Carrion eating birds, like vultures, they like to bite and then twist the chunks, so it doesn't heal properly. And then they have their defense mechanism. Some of them, at least vultures, where they will keep a certain amount of food in their stomach or their crop and make it really slimy and gross and regurgitate it as a really, you ever seen, you know, tomato paste, you know what that is? It's a consistency of tomato paste and napalm. So it's really hard to get off of you, and it is the worst smelling death smell.
Wait, why do they do that?
It's a defense mechanism to keep other animals away. Mm. They don't really have a sense of smell, so they're okay, but everyone else does.
Okay, that's really gross.
Yeah.
Do they understand that it smells?
They probably just do it and then go, why does everyone hate this? Let's just keep doing this. I mean, black vultures don't have a sense of smell. I think turkey vultures do, or it's vice versa.
People hate it when I do this.
But also another little known fact, bald eagles are more related to vultures than they are eagles. They're more of scavengers.
You take that back. Yeah. That's unpatriotic.
They will find dead things and eat them just like vultures. They're pretty much related. Anyway, that's my take on this question.
Woo.
Cool. Now let's transfer over to the boar portion of Temsu's question.
All right. For boar, I haven't listened to a lot of Derby Show, which is a huge freaking mistake, Temsu. but I like what I've heard. Okay, well, that's good. So whether you're getting Derby Show, doing Nerdy, or something completely tangential, I want all to know that this year I'm voting for hashtag more boar. All right, cool.
Hashtag more boar.
I vote against.
No. Oh, you're getting so much more.
Can you get me a shirt that says
you're
hashtag
get
more boar?
All the boar.
It's going to be a boar exit.
Can I get a free shirt?
A free shirt?
It says hashtag
more boar.
And then, but it's going
to
so
you want
like
me to buy you a shirt is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you buy me a shirt too? Any shirt will
shirts
do.
For everyone.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
More sure. Boar. More boar.
Oh, is that really all it takes?
Free
you
swag.
You give people shirts
free
and all
swag.
Of a sudden they're on your team? Sweet.
People just want swag. That's
I am going to just go buy some shirts now. What size are you? You're now on my team.
I just want to feel like I'm a part of something.
All you have to do to get this shirt is say that I'm the best all the time.
That's going too far.
You've got one more on there.
Yeah, there's another one here from Jeffrey McSorley. He writes, Nerdy Show has been around for a long time now, right? They even had a retcon episode to talk about their origins. I'm a longtime listener, and if you are too, head to their Patreon and donate what you can. I know they tout it as something cool to do, but as a backer, I get to shout out like this and talk to these amazing guys about nerdy, geeky stuff on their private Facebook group, and it's amazing!
That's right, that's in all caps.
I had to get the emphasis in there. You guys all rule, and it's nice to get the extra geek news as it comes out and see the discussion before it becomes part of the next episode. So go, do it, and then we'll get more cool stuff like Pokeballs of Steelix and more Nerdy Show Book Club.
That's right. In fact, we're recording the next episode of Nerdy Show Book Club tomorrow.
Ooh.
So coming in July.
You know, which
sometime.
If you're listening to this today was at least a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's in the can by the time you're hearing this.
Oh, it's all in the can. It's all in the can.
What you got?
Well, this is from Manipedia saying, been listening to you guys since the nuclear power post way back, and I haven't been more happy in my life. I've been supporting when I can with money, but Patreon lets me give you the much-needed money you deserve. Also, been using your Amazon link for all my Amazon purchases from the new Nintendo 3DS, Pokemon, magic cases, phone batteries, and such. You guys rock.
Thanks, Manipedia.
Yeah.
Arigato, Manipedia.
I know you get all the percentages of my vibrator sales on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Well, every time I buy them, you guys get like a dollar at least.
But what are magic cases?
Like Magic the Gathering, I think.
Oh.
I don't know if he's buying a whole box or literally just cases to put in.
I don't know why that was not my first
illusionist. Yeah. Oh, you know what? He could be an illusionist.
Like, what's a magic kit? Like, I was imagining like magic wallets.
Or might be right. It could be just like a magic kit with like a wand in there and some flowers.
That's the box in which you put the person that you saw in half.
Oh, okay. Those are expensive.
Or maybe he's a warlock.
You guys
there's some pretty weird shit on Amazon. He might have found the, the dark arts.
I'd like to see the dark underside of Amazon. Where's that at? Show me the Amazon black market.
It's Amazon.
It's dark.amazon.com.
Amazon dark market prime.
Omega. Yeah, we need that Amazon Omega subscription.
All your reagents are teleported to your door immediately with Amazon Dark Arts Prime.
Now, one way you can help us that doesn't involve any money is rating and reviewing our shows on iTunes. All of our programming is up there. There's one for the whole Nerdy Show Network. There's one for just Nerdy Show. And something we're trying to do, and this is going to be an uphill battle, believe me, is we're trying to get at least 250 ratings or reviews on each of our shows. And presently, Nerdy Show's at 29. So 250 is where, apparently, according to stuff we've read, shit changes. All of a sudden, the entire Podiverse can't help but know you exist. So we haven't pressed this issue for too long. It's been maybe about 6 months now, but we want to get to that point. And we know that signing up for iTunes and inserting your credit card information just to give a rating or review is a pain in the ass. And we're really grateful to everyone who's done it so far. So in turn for our gratefulness, we read your comments here on the show. And this is a new one from Goferg. Great source of entertainment and news about all things nerdy. The show is a great way to keep up with all things nerdy, comics, movies, TV, video games, books, and more. They have many different viewpoints and backgrounds that really gives a listener a well-rounded sense of what nerdy content they should be paying attention to. It's great to listen to the show and learn about awesome new books or comic books to check out. In addition to being informative, the gang are hilarious. Even if they're discussing something I do not have a direct interest in, I still find myself enjoying the banter and will often laugh out loud. Do not be fooled by the lower review. I've written this wrong on account of my Siri dictation. Do not be fooled by the low reviews currently. The show is well edited and produced, a true gem waiting to be discovered. If a general news show is not your thing, be sure to check out all their other shows. There will definitely be something for you. And I was kind of intrigued by the low reviews thing.
I think it's the low number of reviews.
Yeah, not
I think that's what he implied. Because currently, of our 29 reviews, 27 are 5 stars, and the other two are 4 and 3, respectively. So
I know who did the 3. We will contact him. We'll go to his house.
Give me his number.
We'll make him pay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got one final PSA to the following people. Josh Hufford, Isaiah Hudson, and Stephen William. If you're listening, please reach out to us and update your Patreon information. We've been trying to get a hold of you and have not been able to reach you at all. It's been months. Thanks for being supporters.
We hope you're okay.
We hope you're okay.
Yes.
But please update your payment information or contact us at info@nerdyshow.com. That's Josh Hufford, Isaiah Hudson, and Stephen Williams.
Calling you out.
That's like
calling you out.
Specific thing ever.
It's like, attention, come to the front desk. Your mother is waiting for you.
You said if you don't have money, you can do the iTunes thing, but you do have to have a credit card for that. So if you don't have that, make sure to just tell people about Nerdy Show.
That's true.
You know, share it on Facebook or go to your favorite forum and tell other people about it, or just walk down the street and be like, hey, listen to Nerdy Show. You know, just call
I'm
people
sleeping.
Out.
Get away from me.
Yeah. And that can help us so much more than dollars.
Yeah,
it really can. And
word of mouth. People will believe you way more than they'll believe us. So
yeah, as much as we would love to go on Reddit or forums and be like, hey, listen to this show. Like, we always have this bias that we don't know how to get around.
And you know, on places like Reddit, it's frowned upon to do too much self-promotion. So.
I'm on Reddit already, but not for Nerdy Show reasons.
For birds.
Yeah, we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get back into the stuff we saw at E3, I want to talk a little bit about Mighty No. 9. It came out, finally, after a long wait, and if you're not familiar with it, this is the man who made Mega Man was left Capcom, because Capcom, for some reason, isn't making any more Mega Man games. They canceled a bunch of projects he was working on and set out on Kickstarter to do his own Mega Man clone. We actually covered all this in a Nerdy Show episode from a couple years ago, back when this project was first announced, an episode called Mighty Mega Men, where we spoke to Charlie from Fangamer, Brelston, who is one of the figureheads at Capcom Unity, and also the Proto Men, talking about the history of Mega Man and also the forthcoming Mighty No. 9 project. We'll link to that episode on this episode's page, because it's awesome and you should totally listen to it, and it's still relevant. But so Mighty No. 9 is finally out after a number of delays, and I think I'm the only person here who's played it so far.
I heard it was really terrible, so I didn't buy it.
What? I heard it was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of conflicting things, and it's crazy. I've heard that there's been some problems with the download keys.
But that's not a game issue.
I don't know if this has been I haven't confirmed this, but I've heard that installing it on some Wiis bricked the Wiis.
Which is
pretty bad. That should never happen, admittedly. I got it for Xbox One. And I love it.
But, like, yeah,
I've had no problems whatsoever.
Those aren't problems with the gameplay. Those are just technical issues before you even play the game.
I mean, I heard the controls were bad, and it was really buggy.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, too. The controls are bad on the PC.
Kind of boring and repetitive. But, I mean, that sounds like Mega Man to me. So.
It is. Yeah, if you don't like Mega Man, you won't like this game. This game is straight up Mega Man. There's nothing more to it. It's simply Mega Man with different characters.
Didn't you tell me once, like, one of the complaints was that this Mega Man game is too much like a Mega Man game? And, like, what the hell do you think you've been... like, backing this for specifically.
Yeah.
Right. This was purely because the guy who made the best Mega Man games couldn't make Mega Man games anymore.
Yeah. So it is literally another Mega Man game for the people who want them.
The graphics are not great. they're very simple, I think probably due in no small part to the fact that it's a cross-platform release on literally every single platform.
So they developed it for the lowest platform and then...
3DS.
just pushed it to everything.
Yeah. Pretty much. And the... there should be a lot more animations when the characters are talking. The voice acting is fine, but the characters they don't really have mouth flaps. They don't make movements. There's some graphical things that I'm like, why'd you do that? But as far as gameplay goes, I found it to be very tight and fun and challenging, as hard as any Mega Man game. Until I jacked my life counter up to 9 lives, I wasn't getting anywhere. I got past the first stage and that was it. I was like completely floundering the whole time.
How long did it take you to beat the second stage? I think I witnessed you trying to beat a boss, and it was, like, destroying you.
Yeah. I've been playing it for about 4 hours now.
Okay.
And I'm 2 mighty numbers away, a.k.a. Robot Masters, from, I guess, getting to whatever the last level is.
Do you absorb their powers for your gun?
It's a Mega Man game.
Okay.
You get swords, too. Well, one of them.
One of the guys gives you swords, which is pretty cool. The abilities are all really fun, and the level designs, the characterization, like the character designs, they're all great. It's straight up Mega Man. If you don't like Mega Man, you won't like it. And as far as the problems people have been having, technically speaking, that sucks. No excuses there. But I like the game. I'm playing it on a console with controls designed for that. It is 100% Mega Man. That's all I asked for. That's all I backed it for, and here we are.
So if I want a new Mega Man game, I should probably check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. I want it.
So I should wait until it's like a couple of dollars on Steam.
Sure, why not?
Do you like Mega Man?
If you don't like Mega Man?
Well, then you probably won't bother.
Some of them I liked okay. Like, I liked Mega Man X a lot.
Of course you did.
There's some cool new stuff. For example...
You can dash in this. It's like Mega Man X.
There's a dash attack because you sort of destroy the robots you're fighting to a certain point where they start glowing, and then you dash into them to sort of absorb their cells. It's some kind of digital style.
digital dancing.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a good explanation for it or not. But you get it, and you can get certain like minor abilities from doing that. It'll help refill your abilities for all the ones you've been using from the Robot Masters, and it's also a good tactic for jumping and moving quickly and all that. But then also, one cool thing is that when the mighty numbers have been programmed to be insane, right? So they were your friends previously, and which is an interesting dynamic of like, oh man, my friend, this robot here, is doing some dirty deeds and it sucks.
Were they dirt cheap or other?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you free them, and then they help you out. It's not just that you absorb their powers, but also they'll come to stages that you haven't beaten yet and actually help mitigate some environmental problems. It's not enough to, like, make it super easier, but it's kind of an interesting thing of, like, if you're struggling on a level for a while and you're like, man, I hate this part, then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, I wasn't even supposed to do this level yet. And then the other robot master comes in and he's like, hey, let me help you out with this one little bit. And it's an interesting kind of dynamic characterization gameplay thing. But that's the end of Mighty No. 9. Let's talk about Zelda Breath of the Wild. Why haven't we talked about that yet?
I don't know.
We only have a little time left.
It's all right. You know.
It looks great.
It's all right.
I like that the Nintendo did exactly what I thought they were going to do, which was announce or just talk about only two things, which are the only two things I think are keeping Nintendo alive. It was hilarious that they reinforced the things that I say all the time about them. Pokemon for 50 minutes, and then Zelda for like another
30
minutes.
What did they talk about
with
Pokemon?
All they did was talk about Sun and Moon and just show the game for 40 minutes. And I was like, I don't care. And
did they talk about their next
system? Sorry, I'm excited.
Literally, Pokemon and Zelda. Nothing. No, nothing about new games. Nothing
but
about
they
systems.
Said that this new Zelda game was supposed to be on the next console.
They were playing
it
on Wii U. I saw it.
Well, it's going to be on Wii U and the
like
the
they did Twilight.
One.
But no, they didn't mention anything about that. And literally, Pokemon and Zelda. Nothing about systems. Nothing about
did they say how far
platforms?
Away Zelda was going to be? Because that might be an indication of how far away the system is. Because I imagine
I didn't
it's probably
see a release
be
date.
Either at the same time or not far after, I would imagine.
Well, we bought a Wii U specifically when this game was announced, thinking this is going to be an awesome Zelda game. And if it's for the next system, we're like, wow, thanks, guys.
No, it's for both.
Why would I play it for an obsolete system when if there's it's going to be on the better system? I got to get that one. Zelda is a system like seller to me.
Exactly. So. Yeah, it is.
That's true. But, I mean, huge open world, gorgeous, gorgeous, like, cel-shaded stuff happening. I cannot wait to like
I loved how they were
get absorbed in that.
Screwing around with the physics like in a lot of these demo videos. They're just like, hey, look at this, there's a lot of wind and you can make like fire go like blow other places. And
I was really impressed with that. I also was impressed with the amount of things they were taking from other games, so I'm kind of wondering when this story takes place in like the mythology of Zelda, because they had the Temple of Time. They had the, I forget their name, but the Koroko, they're like the forest people from
Kokiri?
People from Wind Waker, specifically, like the leaves on their face. They also, the Sheikah are a main part, like, you know, Sheik and all the ancient protectors of Hyrule. There's symbols for them everywhere, and the device you use is one of their devices, and they're saying one of the big things in this game, you know, not just like magic and swords and, you know, that you always get is technology. You will be getting different types of technology, like advanced technology.
As far as the whole timeline thing goes, what I've learned through the Zelda series is that it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, it matters.
Yeah. It really doesn't.
No.
It matters.
Yeah, it
not if
matter
you have
all.
An ocarina, huh?
I mean, like,
there
Skyward,
are two different, like, realities.
Skyward
three.
Sword was supposed to be, like, one of the earliest
ones. It was ones the prequel to everything.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Who cares?
I care.
It doesn't even, it doesn't, nothing matters. Nothing really carries over from game to game. Like, the Master Sword's maybe out in the forest somewhere, and
the Master Sword's origin is in Skyward Sword. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Or in Minish Cap.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm thinking of Ganon's Sword, that origin. Well,
Minish Cap's like the second game in this, I don't know.
There's a timeline, and they'll make it fit in the timeline. And if it doesn't fit, then they'll come up with a way to make it fork again, because it's currently a three-pronged forking timeline.
And, like, the first Zelda and the second Zelda were, like, way at the end of the...
Yeah.
So, who cares? It doesn't matter.
I care. I thought they were playing this demo for, like, at least an hour or whatever on what looked like the Wii U. They didn't show the system, they showed the pad, but the game looked too good to be on a Wii U. And I know...
Coming in 2017, and everyone says that it's going to be on the next Nintendo
because
console.
The amount of distance you can see, like, the boulder that, like, they push, you can see it going for, like, forever. I'm like, there's no way the Wii U is doing that. But maybe. Maybe they're running it on a PC. I don't know. So, it's just that graphically, I didn't think they could do all the stuff that they're doing.
You got any Pokemon
stuff? It is possible that they had, like, an overclocked one or something.
So are you just more excited for Zelda over Pokemon, or are you not a Pokemon fan?
I played Pokemon Diamond for like a million hours. I'm done. It's every game is the same to me.
That's the only Pokemon game I've played too.
You stand behind your Pokemon now. You can see your trainer in the battles. That's cool, right?
Yeah, that's I mean, I thought overhaul. X and Y was interesting because you could actually, like, customize your pet. Like, depending on what kind of Pokemon you had, you could customize your Pokemon. You could customize yourself.
Oh, they did have a customization. You could be a guy, a girl, white, brown, or like black.
You could change your. You could go to stores, change your clothes, hair, eyes.
Change your eyes.
Yeah. Color. You could, well, I don't remember the name of the exact.
Is Danny DeVito in this one?
No.
Didn't we talk about that?
Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah. Just, he would be perfect.
Everything is just looks the same to me, but with slightly better graphics.
I don't know. I guess I've always been, despite how shitty they've come, and they're just like, this is a Pokemon.
That's a can.
Canola. You can fight with
it's
it.
An oily it's an oily Pokemon.
It's part metal. I don't fucking know.
Metal type.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So
you're right, they did have like a haunted chandelier. So.
Yeah, they did. They had a ice cream, a chandelier, a candle.
What the hell is a Popplio? Is anyone? It's a sealed dog thing. I hate him. He's one of the
Had
starters.
One that was a coffin with like little wiggly arms.
That's cool. That's cool though.
I think there's one that's a chair. Is there not one that's just straight up a
closet dog Brandon?
That is the most practical Pokemon though, because you can sit on it. It's a chair. That's the most practical, useful Pokemon.
But I mean,
I think Lickitung's the most practical Pokemon.
I think closet goth Brandon is something we should expand upon in the future.
Have you guys ever watched from Goth to Boss?
Yes.
And there's a book from goth to boss. Teach you how to rise to the top of management while you're goth.
What?
Cradle of Filth changed my life.
Okay, I honestly want to buy this book and like turn it into a TV series.
Well, what you should do first is examine the TV series IT Crowd and all the answers will come to you.
Yeah,
I was just going to let her go.
Yeah. No.
Look this up.
I genuinely want her to watch the IT Crowd.
I do too.
I've seen the IT Crowd.
Why don't you remember this?
What are you referring to?
Noel Fielding's character. And in his Goth to Boss program.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, I want the physical book to turn
well,
it.
Well, me too. But
into
it isn't a physical
and like make it into like a reality show.
Okay.
The way you were talking about it,
it seemed like you had no idea what we were talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Don't apologize.
I wanted it to become its own entity, though. Like, well, I think it should be developed.
A great reality show. Yeah.
Like Goth
what
to Boss
done?
For reals.
What's happened?
Like, I want this, you know, they have Undercover Boss. Why not?
We've opened the red door, Brandon.
Undercover Goth.
That's all I'm saying.
Undercover
but,
Goth.
But, yeah, I'm excited for the new Pokemon. I mean, if you walk into my room, you're going to see suns and moons everywhere. So the fact that they've taken suns and moons and the Pokemon, this is probably the first time I'm actually going to have to buy, like, one of
the Legendary looked way cooler for
I'm
the
out
moon,
until
the
they...
moon version.
Now, what's going on with, like, have you seen the Mewtwo-esque character Mew? Like,
no, I don't care.
I'm not really sure if it's another evolution, if it's like a super evolution, like a mega evolution.
Well, you
now.
Know they have fusions now.
So okay,
where you can combine two Pokemon and for like in the battle.
Oh
for
yeah,
briefly. No, I don't know if that's
no. True. I don't think so.
I don't know.
So you have suns and moons in
no,
your room.
You can use special
and that makes you excited about this new Pokemon.
I'm sorry, what?
There's suns and moons
yeah.
in your room.
Yeah.
And you're excited about Pokemon.
I absolutely love Suns, Moons, Space, and then Pokemon.
I'm
so
holding
the fact
out
that
for
like,
corn versus potato chip.
Dude, I do that too.
Well, that's why I like
Pokemon.
That's why I like the coffin yeah. Pokemon so
you should,
much.
You should cut down on the corn, though.
So yeah. The coffin's I sleep in one.
But, yeah, have you seen the Mega Evolution ones where you use the, like, you can Mega Evolve your Mewtwo
and
your Charizard?
Can you Digivolve them?
No. Yeah. Wrong game.
Is it?
Wrong
is
show.
Is it, though?
I was more of a Monster Rancher type of guy where you had to go around
oh
and grab
God.
All your discs that are in your house and dude. Put them into the thing and you'd get...
I briefly considered hunting around for that fucking, Backstreet Boys album that you could get that exclusive monolith type
oh,
like
yeah.
from... I didn't do
what?
It.
You know what I did is I just randomly burned data onto discs.
Mm.
And I was just throwing in because it would give it a different checksum
hey,
so it would
that's
pull
true. How
pull
about,
different...
How
weird.
About Pixie, huh? And Swayzo? Yeah.
All right, no, so,
the,
so...
The best way was to get the rewritable, and you just throw random
also,
data on there.
Back in the day, in this game Monster Rancher...
What are we talking
on
about
on the PlayStation,
anymore?
you would, to get a new creature, you would scan a disc that you have. It could be a CD, and there were certain CDs that they're like, they recognize the codes of, and like, if you put this certain Backstreet Boys record
like a
in
legendary,
there,
like...
they give you a special Monster Rancher monster. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think what it was is they took like the checksum of the disc and or certain data points throughout the disc
when
and then they
this?
Read those and put those into a monster.
I think
like,
you weren't born yet.
2000, 2001.
Oh yeah, I wasn't yeah. born was yet. No.
It's when PS1 came out. When games
I had no clue that was even a thing existing in life.
There was one for PS1.
Yeah, there probably was, but I played the PS2 one.
It was just weird. It's like remove the game disc and then put in a different disc, close the lid, load.
And then there was like a huge
in.
Animation after you were done.
It took like
then...
5 minutes to do one disc.
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time on that.
I wrote down my entire CD collection at that point. And like I did every single disc I had and I made a list of all of what all of it was. And
remember how much free time you used to have?
Wasn't that amazing?
What happened to us? Where, are we going to go back to Zelda?
I don't know. We're kind of running out of time.
Well, sorry. Did you like any of the... Well, there was a lot of new features that I think are really... They said it's a big departure from the series that, you know,
cook and eat
world.
Animals.
You can go to the mountain climbing thing where just straight off the bat at the beginning, he was jumping on... You know, you see these mountains. You're like, oh, well, that's the boundary of this area. You can't go over it. He just jumps on it, starts climbing, and gets to the top and just stands there. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are there any boundaries in this game? There must be. But you can pretty much climb anything. And I hope they explain that because it looked like he was doing it barehanded without any magical gloves or abilities. So you just wake up and
like
just climb anything.
Yeah.
But they said you can go and explore anything at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, but if they're saying like, hey, you're not limited anymore. You can do, you know, you're out in Hyrule and you can go wherever you can see and do whatever. That's a bold move for them.
I like that you can just find items and.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be stuff that is still restricted until you get a certain item to be able to like
blow up certain things
or.
Yeah. But there's a lot of crafting and things in the game too. So there's no you can chop grass forever. You'll never find hearts in it in this game. They said you only refill hearts by eating and baking and things. So like you found apples and then they lit something. They found a tree branch which they use as a weapon. But then they lit it on fire, made a bonfire, cooked the apple, and it gave them more.
Maybe
hearts.
This is the earliest Zelda before they got all those hearts and rupees scattered into the grass.
Well, I'd like to see what happened
back
in the world
day when you actually had
hearts.
To eat instead of just collecting hearts out in the grass.
This is about the great cataclysm where all the hearts. Fell all over the world into the grass and the rupees.
You have to be way too responsible for yourself in a virtual world. It defeats the point.
Did you see the clothing system, Cap? Where if he goes to different environments, like there was one scene where he like glided down, like it's like the Leaf in Wind Waker where he has a glider or whatever. But he went into an area that was freezing cold, and even in the pause menu, it was showing Link shivering. He could barely do any attacks or anything. And then he had a coat that said it was better for protecting against cold. It didn't have better stats, but it could protect against cold. So he put it on, and then he could move normally in that environment. And he was just finding different clothing and chests with different stats, and all the weapons break in the game. By the way,
all of them?
Yeah. Except maybe the Master Sword, but he found like a rusty broadsword at the beginning, used it a few times, and it shattered. They said a big part is not only going to be like able to, I think, like find. There's lots of weapons everywhere that you can craft and find. But
we pulled players, and we learned that they wanted weapon maintenance.
You steal weapons from enemies, so they're fighting moblins, and he takes one of their clubs away, and you use it. And it's going to be a lot of using different
low
weapons
durability
constantly.
Weapons worked really well in their focus groups.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing yet. The way they were playing it looked really fluid. Like their sword breaks, they knocked out an enemy, took his club, and then beat the enemy with it. They just took the club with, and it was fluid. It was really good. And there's like a few like quick time events if you know like interactive button mashing things.
One little animated picture that I saw was a like. Basically hitbox porn where one of the enemies attacked Link and he just barely missed him and it was fine. Like in a lot of games, if you're barely missed, then you're going to get tackled or
in
smashed.
In most Zelda games, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool new features like that. Yeah. Fine tuning, as it were.
I don't understand why collisions are that, like, why it's taken so long for something like that to happen.
Programming. I don't know. But obviously the way I'm talking about it, you can tell I'm excited about this game, regardless of, you know, that it's not up to the standards of like a Fallout, I think, or a Skyrim even. It still looks like an amazing Zelda game, and I'm going to buy a new system just for it, so that's how much I like it. So.
I got two things I want to do quick mentions of, just to wrap up our E3 coverage here. One is a game called Detroit Become Human.
Oh, that's so weird.
By Quantic Dream. Quantic Dream, of course, are the French studio known for making the most cerebral, strange games like Heavy Rain.
I couldn't even wrap my mind around what was going on. Like,
oh, with all the different choices that they showed.
There's a trailer we'll link to. We'll describe it briefly here. And you're an android of some kind being brought into a hostage situation. You are the negotiator.
Well, you're sent to hunt other androids that have gone rogue.
Yeah, well, in this case, the guy taking the hostage is another android. So this trailer presents you with a multitude of ways that you can solve or fail this situation in inexplicable detail. Like, the amount of options, the amount of ways that you can play this game are staggering.
They showed, like, a flow chart really briefly, and I tried to pause it, and there was, like, 120 different things and outcomes for this one mission they were showing. Just from all the evidence you could collect or use it in a conversation when you're trying to talk someone down, or you can incite them to like go crazy, and it's just all the different dialogue options mixed with evidence you find is insane.
After they started to go through that, I was questioning, like, is this like the whole game? Like, are you stuck in this one situation where you have to go back and like solve this perfectly? No,
there's several levels.
It seemed like it could have been just a time loop.
Yeah, but then at the end, after that, they kind of implied that, no, like, we got a whole city out here.
That's like the beginning. Yeah.
Go crazy.
It's like Hitman, where there's, you know, like 100 ways to do each stage, but there's different levels.
And Shaded Spryder commented, the new Quantic Dream game looks like the best parts of Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. I think what's going to make it the best written Quantic Dream game is that David Cage, French Peter Molyneux with a less French name, isn't the only writer on it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did this remind you of Blade Runner a little bit?
A little bit.
Granted, I've only seen 10% of that movie. Don't yell at me. But it reminded me.
I'll scowl at you
it
instead.
It reminded me a just lot the of opening the 10% blood bat scene that I've. Sure. No. It reminded. Wait. There's
wrong.
No.
I'm thinking of Blade, not Blade
you
Runner.
Got
fuck
me.
Fuck me, man. I'm done. I'm out.
But,
man.
But he's got that silver katana. And...
But yeah, no. I mean, like, the what does it mean to be human replicant kind of vibe. It's very heavy in this so far, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And then one final one, Abduction, from the maker of Myst and Riven.
I actually don't know anything about it, but I love puzzle games. Please tell me more.
Well, yeah. I wish I knew. I wish I knew more about it.
You don't like puzzle games more?
No.
You do hate everything.
I do.
What are they? Wow, just FPS is all the way with you.
Yeah.
Man, okay. There's a new Call of Duty. It looks
sprinkle
great.
Sprinkle in some MMOs and some other random games, and you know.
Gary Yer, who actually went to E3 this year, he said, "I got some hands-on with the new Cyan game. It's definitely a worthy successor to the Myst franchise. The visuals and world are gorgeous and full of the little storytelling details you find in Myst games. The music was wonderful as well.
I really hope
so." That's what turns me off is that description right there.
Oh, that turns me on. I have. The biggest direction right now for that game. I hope it's for consoles, because there's no way my PC is going to be able to run that.
Do you still have your Riven notebook, Brandon?
Yeah, it's about 80 pages filled with notes. I deciphered whole languages in there. I wrote down what is on every screen, every sound you hear, and I mapped out every island. And it was really fun, actually. It was more fun to write an actual journal like I was experiencing the world than to just try to remember things. So, because like, there's no way I was doing that.
Now that sounds like an authentic role-playing experience.
When I
right
start
there.
This new game, I'm definitely going to have a journal. That's the best way to play these like puzzle games, is to have a journal, because it's a world. It's an experience.
This game actually comes out a month from now, July 26th, and it's for PC and Mac.
I don't know if my PC can handle that.
Good thing I've got one of them little Steam links.
Whoop! Getting it. I'll buy it, and we can play it together. Boy, you can help us figure out puzzles. You heard that, right?
It sounds like something he'd really enjoy.
Patreon, let's have a Patreon hangout where I just play this game and everyone watches and helps.
There you go.
That sounds
we
fun.
Do
that's
have
called a Twitch stream.
Yeah, we do have the Twitch stream.
We do that.
What's Twitch?
I don't know.
Yeah. So we do that.
Do.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that for now. We do have an E3 thread ongoing on the Nerdy Show forums. If there's anything that you think we should have mentioned, we totally can. And
there's not enough time to talk about everything. There's a lot.
Let's keep this conversation going, is what I'm saying, in the poorest way possible. Anyway, that's all we got for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And taking us out, since we talked about Mighty No. 9, I thought we'd play a song we played back in our original Mighty No. 9 episode. This is Built to Last by the Proto Men. created for the Mega Man 25th anniversary record, Mega Man Rocks.
We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
What? I like the little attitude at the end.
Well, we got it covered.
I like...
If it's geeky, we got it covered. Bitch.
Watch.
Oh my god.
We're going to use that take instead of yours.
Thanks you're for very listening sassy. To Nerdy Show.
Keep it sassy.
thanks for listening. Can you do the whole thing sarcastic? Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. I think you'd be better at sarcasm. if you like what you heard. I'm not doing the whole thing again. I'm just, you know. This is an idea for next time, guys.
Okay, next time I'll do sarcastic time. One.